Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shoup from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. Today on the show, I'm so excited. I have Russ Morrissey from End Publishing on, and he's going to be talking about Judge Dredd and the worlds of 2000 AD. Russ, thanks for coming on and chatting with me for a little while.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like, I saw the announcement for your Kickstarter for Judge Dredd. I'm a big fan of the movies over here in the States. I'm going to be honest. I don't really know a whole lot about the comics.
Even the Stallone movie.
Hey, you know, I like kind of. I'm one of those. I kind of like good bad movies, you know, like every once in a while, like, you know, you just have to sit down and watch like a movie that not everybody likes.
One thing I would say about that Stallone movie is, even though the plot isn't great,
right,
I think the sets in that film and the costumes are fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
It looks gorgeous. It's just a shame about everything else, really.
Yeah, it's not a great movie. But that's okay. I really like the Carl Urban movie. I thought that was phenomenal.
That's a very good one.
I hope that they make more content for that. It's been in the works for a while. But
there's that Mega City TV show coming up, isn't there?
Oh, is there? Is there?
The year after, maybe?
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm not sure when exactly, but yeah, there's a TV show they're making.
Very cool. I wasn't aware of that. I knew that there was like a rumors of him doing another movie or whatnot. Is he going to be part of that show as well?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not really sure. I don't think Carl Urban's involved.
No, that's all right.
Well, that'd be cool though. If he had a cameo or something, that would be cool.
That would be awesome. I would definitely be down for that. But we're not here to talk about movies. We're here to be. We're not here to be movie critics. We're here to talk about your awesome RPG that's coming out on Tuesday. Let's talk a little bit about it. You've got a great team. Look at that.
This one here.
Oh my God. That is beautiful.
That is a gorgeous book. I've not only got that, I've also got here a limited edition version. Different cover. Very, very pretty.
That's pretty.
What's code on the back?
Nice.
Ruins the lines, slightly.
Oh my God. What's the page count on those books? Don't mind me asking already.
274.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah,
good size
big
books.
Chunky books. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how you got how did this whole thing come about? Like, cause there's been other Judge Dredd RPGs, but this is a new version based on it's called a warning system. Did I pronounce
that right? Yeah.
I'm going to tell folks that this system is awesome. If you haven't checked out any of the, like, I am a big fan of D6 dice pool systems. So when I saw that not only was this coming to Kickstarter, but it had a D6 dice pool system, like, I'm like, oh my God, just take my money now. Where do I send my check? You know, I'm ready for this. I'm going to tell folks, if you really like D6 dice pool systems, go definitely check out all that wine, books that Russ has put out.
No, thank you. That's
so really let's talk about how did this whole IP licensing kind of come about?
Our business manager, Angus O'Branson, he knows the folks over at Rebellion, who is the company that owns Judge Dredd in 2000 AD and does all the comics. They do computer games, all sorts of stuff. So he knows them, and we went up to Oxford, which is where they're based, to have a chat with them, and we pitched them this game, which was basically a role-playing game, not just about Judge Dredd, but covering all of the different sort of worlds and settings that they do. And they were so supportive and so generous and so nice. They said yes straight away. Ever since, they've been super, super, because it's been, 2 years making this, but they've been so supportive the whole way through. So we went up, had a meeting with them, pitched to them, you know, what we wanted to do. 2 weeks later, I think it was, we signed the license, started work.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was easier than I expected as well. So you know, some licenses are a little harder to negotiate, but these guys were so, you know, so accommodating. I mean, they knew what an RPG was, which I think helped. You didn't have to do the initial, right, this is what a role-playing game is, and all that sort of thing. They knew what we were talking about, and that really helped.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, so this has been in development for 2 years. You said you've let it leak that the books are all done. Like you're just looking to get this printed, and you're looking for your publishing costs. Is that that's pretty
basically,
much
yeah. Basically, we're talking a print run. So as soon as the Kickstarter ends, once the funds clear, we look at how many people have backed it, put in a print run for that number of print run order for that number of copies of the book, and done. So everyone should be getting their copies like very, very, very shortly after the Kickstarter ends.
Wow, that's great. I'm excited. I love when Kickstarter creators just kind of done all the legwork and they've really kind of minimized that whole wait. There's nothing worse. Yeah. There's nothing worse than backing a Kickstarter and then having to wait like a year and a half for your product.
Yeah. Like, I mean, sometimes you even forget that you backed it, don't you? Exactly. Although I find that's always kind of fun when suddenly something arrives.
But this
and
is
you've
true.
Forgotten you backed it, and it's like past you bought future you a present.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you've got a great. Let's talk about the team that you have working on this on these books, because you've got an all-star cast that have just contributed to this. Can you let us know who's been working on this with you?
So we've got the main writer is a guy called Darren Pierce, who's worked on lots and lots and lots of things. He's quite a prolific writer in the RPG industry. He's written for Doctor Who. He's written for Lone Wolf, all sorts of stuff. So he's been a 2000 AD fan since he was a kid. So when we first contacted him, I mean, we already knew him, but when we first approached him and said, look, are you interested in writing for this line? He was so excited. He was on board straight away. Didn't have to persuade him at all. He was so excited.
That's
awesome. I'm really pleased to say that everyone involved in this, because they're such big 2000 AD fans, everyone is so excited to be working on. You know, it's like a dream come true. It's like the sort of thing you never imagine you're going to do when you're a kid.
Sure.
That 20 years later, you're going to be working on a 2080 tabletop RPG. It's fantastic.
I can't imagine what that must be like. You know, it's just, when you can like be a part of that world that you've been a fan of for so long.
Exactly.
That's just going to be such a huge honor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it must be like that for some of, you know, the people who work on the sort of Star Wars games and the Star Trek games and all this sort of stuff. It must be amazing just to get those licenses and just start working on it.
Sure, sure. That's great. Now, you have this, the core book is all set to go. It's 276 pages, but this is like, it's not just the core book that you have ready for print, right? It's there's some other, there's like another supplement book and some other materials that you're looking to publish with this Kickstarter.
So we have here, I will warn you that the cover has changed since this copy arrived, so it won't look exactly like this.
Yes.
However, that is the Robot Wars, 100 pages. As you can see, it's crammed full of stuff. This is, we're going with this sort of adventure slash source book model. So there's two adventures in here. One is the sort of Judge Dredd Judge adventure, which kind of follows the stories from the comics. And one is an adventure for perps and civilians called Saving Matt Damon Block. And it's dealing with the entirety of the sort of robot wars within one mega block.
Okay.
And just how some perps and civilians kind of like handle it within those confines, knowing that the judges can't come to help because the judges are out on the front lines dealing with the robot revolution en masse on the streets of Mega City 1. And of course, that's half of the book. And then the other half of the book is like a robot source book. So we've got more rules for robot player characters, look at robots' roles in society, all sorts of crunchy sort of gaming materials which players can use in their games. And at the back, we've got a bunch of, you know, robot monsters and stuff ready to be thrown straight into your games. As you can see there. So we're going with this sort of half adventure, half source book kind of thing. So for each of the major story arcs. That's what we'll be doing with it.
Awesome. Awesome. So you've got other books that are planned for this license.
Already being written we've got Lunar One is already being written. There is The Cursed Earth is pretty much written now. And then we're just basically going to go through Dredd's chronology and just take each major storyline as it comes, one at a time, in order. Because one of the things about Judge Dredd is that the character ages in real time. Mm-hmm. So from the 1970s right up to now, every year in the real world that's passed, the character's aged a year.
Oh, that's
and Mega City 1 has moved on 1 year. So events that happen in Mega City 1, you know, like, for example, right now, in the chronology we're doing in the Robot Wars, there's no wall around the city. You know, that Mega City 1 sort of famous for having this big wall. It's not there yet. That comes later, in a later storyline. So we'll be working through the entirety of his chronology over a series of source books, just like this one.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got some questions. I'm actually going to tell folks, if you're watching this and you have any questions for us, please put them in the chat, and we'll feed them in as we go along. Let's see. Realm of Darkness says, "Hey, Russ, fan of Woyne here, player in Dragon's Blood." I think that looks like Caleb. Awesome. Then Shadowcat asks, "Can we ask what the goal options are, please?"
The goal options?
Would it be for the Kickstarter? Do you just?
Oh, the pledge levels.
Yeah, let's talk about. Yeah, we can talk about the pledge levels. Let's talk about the. That is my notes. I don't know if you have. I should have asked you that before we came on.
I haven't got it up in front of me. Give me one sec. Yeah, I can get that.
No problem.
Okay.
Some folks, you know, they don't always have their pledge levels set ahead of time.
They might change. We're just frantically messing around with spreadsheets at the moment, getting more and more sort of shipping quotes and more print quotes and things like that in. So these aren't subject to change. So what I won't do is give specific numbers, but I'll give some sort of ballpark figures. Let me just call that up. 1 second. Dun, 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 dun. Slow internet. Good timing. Excellent. has to be, isn't it? All right, so. So down at the sort of lower end, where we're looking at probably 20 quid or so, we've got the PDF option, which is going to get you the core rulebook. Okay. That probably won't change. Then the core rulebook itself, we're probably looking at the £35 to £40 range just for the core rulebook.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that is in dollars. That's $45?
Yeah, it depends on the screen. Yeah. Does that include the PDF as well? If folks back for
Everything we do physically, if you buy it physically, you get a PDF.
Okay, excellent.
So then, what have we got then? So then, if you wanted the if you wanted the core book and the Robot Wars, so if you wanted that, you'd be looking at sort of £55-60 roughly.
Okay.
If you wanted a full package, which is that and that. And I haven't got it right in front of me, but the GM screen and possibly one other item, but I can't confirm that's going in quite yet because there's one last thing to do on it. Then you will be approaching the £100 mark with the full set there. And then if you throw in the special edition, that's obviously going to come to quite a bit more.
Sure. Excellent.
That's the basic pledge levels.
Nice. Yeah, it's always nice when now the GM screen, does that have charts and all that on the back of it? Does it got information?
Yeah, so on the GM's facing, I actually do have one, but
that's all right. If you don't have it handy, that's don't worry.
So on the GM side, obviously, we'll have a big preview of it on the Kickstarter itself. But I'm looking at it right here now. On the GM side, it's got loads of handy charts and things. There's a random chart if you're on patrol to sort of like randomly call up a random crime that the players can do. All the usual sort of skill difficulty charts, that sort of stuff. On the player's side, we've actually put some player useful information.
Oh, okay.
Rather than just a picture. In a lot of Dredd games that I've played in the past, players often stop to look up what the typical sentence for a crime is. once they've arrested a perp and they want to know, oh, are we going to give them 30 years in the ISO cubes or just 15? Who knows? They stop and they start paging through books. And it kind of holds the game up a little bit. So yeah. We've put that on the player-facing side of the GM screen.
Oh, nice.
So the players can see it right there. Additionally, on the player-facing side of that screen, you've got all your stats for your lore master and the stats for a lawgiver just there, just facing you. Just because they're so commonly used that, you know, why not just have them there on display rather than people looking them up constantly?
Sure. No, I think that's great. That's a really smart move.
I think it works really well. I mean, I use it. I'm playing on Thursday nights. We've been playing through the Robot Wars.
And I
found that incredibly useful.
Sure. That's great. Let's see here. David Gaskin has a question. It says, how will Woyne System help to recreate the Dread World?
That's a big question.
Can
you narrow that down a little more specific?
David, I'll let you put a follow-up question. How about that?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, I do have one question that comes from Role to Play Podcast. It's like the general question that we always ask. And if you haven't checked out Role to Play Podcast, check them out. They are a great actual play podcast. They do all sorts of role play questions. Ken always, whenever he's on, he always asks our guests and his guests too. Would you say that your system is ideal for one shots or campaigns? A campaign type game.
Both. I've done both with them.
I think I have too.
Obviously, I was going to answer that, but I honestly I've done both with them. Using the system, not playing Judge Dredd, but last year I ran a sort of, it was about a year long, probably 9 months to a year, a sort of Traveller-esque, Firefly-esque kind of freewheeling space campaign with a bunch of players on a ship just traveling from planet to planet, just trying to make a living, doing a bit of bounty hunting and stuff like that. And the advancement system in what's on is new, I'm quite fond of, because it's quite a sort of incremental advancement system. So players can literally gain something small every single session. Rather than having to sort of wait a month to get your next level, like you might in a sort of level-based system, for example.
Sure. So,
I've done that. But I've also, I did a Judge Dredd one-shot. In this book here, we've got a chapter which is just filled with sort of one-shot ideas. So each of them are basically a one-page adventure.
Oh, nice.
So it kind of leaves you to flesh out the actual details. But the one that I ran, it was just last week, was called The Brotherhood of Darkness. And the spoilers, I suppose, coming up. But the mayor's son had been kidnapped by some mutants and taken out into the cursed Earth. And it took us, 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. So the judges sort of did a little bit of investigating, questioned a couple of witnesses. I tracked down, a couple of witnesses and questioned them, traveled out into the cursed Earth and rescued the mayor's son, all in sort of like 3 or 4 hours of play. And that worked really, really, really well.
Nice. I love when folks just kind of give you like a little adventure seed and then kind of let the GM kind of take
the yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Shadowcat says the screen with the sentencing is a very good idea, as well as the stats for the Lawmaster. So at Lawmaster and the Lawgiver. So Shadowcat is very, thinks that was a great system as well.
Well, thank you, Shadowcat.
And Realm of Darkness says Woyne works for one shots and campaigns. I've played in both with the system. Excellent. So a lot of Woyne love on this chat. So it's awesome that some familiar faces in that chat too. So I'm glad that I was able to get you on, because it looks like a lot of folks are big fans of your system, which is great.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, I think your system definitely has that great. It's not entirely like story driven, and it's not really it's not real crunchy. It's that good medium part of role playing, like where
it's kind of in the middle there with some crunchy bits you can use if you want to, sort of thing. Is the way
exactly.
I like to say. So you can turn up the dials and get a bit crunchy if you really want to do that, and if you don't, just move swiftly on.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big fan. I love D6 dice pool system. So, yeah, I'm just really really excited. So the Kickstarter is live. You just is all set to go. You're just gonna hit that live button on Tuesday. You get to
So 5 PM my time on Tuesday, which I guess is what, you're five hours behind me, are you? So it'd be roughly midday for you.
Yep. Yeah. That's
so yeah. So that goes live Tuesday evening, and then I think I leave the house and try not to look at my phone repeatedly.
I can't imagine, like, I've had a whole bunch of other Kickstarter creators on the show, and the stress level that everybody must go through for the length of their campaigns has to be
intense. Yeah, I find it hard, to be honest. It's such a roller coaster. It really is. Like, that first day is always a big high, and then the last two or three days, they're always really exciting. But there's this bit in the middle, which is, you know, not an awful lot's happening. You know, people are pledging, but it's not like the beginning and the end of the thing. Right. And you know, you get these peaks and these troughs in the middle, and they can be such a roller coaster to ride. You know, one day you're on cloud nine, the next you're thinking, oh no, why is nobody backing my Kickstarter?
Which brings me to the question: How long is your Kickstarter going to go for?
32 days, I think it is.
32. Okay.
Yeah, what we wanted to do was make sure we hit everyone's. Payday. So we figure 32 days, that's like one day over a month.
Sure.
Everybody's payday hopefully would have sort of fell in within that, because we don't want someone to miss out just because they're still waiting for payday. That would be a shame. So that way, hopefully everyone will get a chance.
Shadowcat says, I think this will be funded very fast. I hope so. Yeah.
Absolutely. I guess we'll find out next week, but I certainly hope so.
Now, the other question that I have for you is, you said that you're going to take all the pledge levels and whoever backed, and you're just going to hit the go print this many copies. Are you going to have any copies available afterwards in case I know that the funding is for a print run. If folks miss this Kickstarter for any reason at all, are you going to have any sort of way for them to pick up the books afterwards?
We will have to see. Nothing is fully decided there yet. Okay. Right now, we're just focusing on this one thing.
That's a good question.
You know, we'll see where we are once we fulfilled this Kickstarter, which obviously will take a little bit of time after it ends, but very, very quickly. Then we'll look at where we are and decide what we're doing then.
Nice. Once you've got the books in people's hands and they're just raving about how great this game is.
Our priority will be our backers once that Kickstarter ends. Right. They're the most important people in the world. Before we worry about anything else, we're getting the books into their hands. And then we'll worry about everything else.
Preach it, Russ. Preach it.
There's no chance you're going to suddenly see this book in the shop before you've got your Kickstarter reward or anything like that. Because I've had that happen to me before, and that's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. Oh, I'm so... You're hitting all these things that I love to hear when folks.
Well, you see, I've had quite a few Kickstarters myself. I know what the things are that are really frustrating on the other side of it, and I've run sort of several myself as well. So you know, it's not my first rodeo. No. So you know, I kind of hopefully know what I'm doing this time.
No, you do, and people, I've backed other projects from you, and you have a great you do a great job of communicating. Even after the Kickstarter ends, you keep people informed. So it's not like
I kind of worry that I over communicate sometimes.
No, I mean I think I'd rather have that than there's nothing worse than backing a Kickstarter, having it end, and then
hearing just nothing for ages,
silence for months. Like that that makes me so angry. But yet during the Kickstarter campaign, there seems to be an update every single day. But then you know, and I understand that folks are busy, and you know it's tough. But you know.
Well, with ours, that's not really going to be an issue because it's going to be fulfilled so quickly that it won't really matter whether or not we say anything because you have your books in your hands.
Sure.
You know, we're going to do it as soon as that thing ends, we're off.
What's your expected delivery date on launch the Kickstarter? What's your goal for a delivery date on this project?
So the Kickstarter ends, then there's a 2-week period while Kickstarter collects funds.
Right.
After that, we'll probably give people about 2 weeks to give us their addresses.
Okay.
Because that is the one thing that can delay it, obviously. If you don't answer the address survey quickly, obviously we can't send a product out if we don't know where to send it. I've got a Kickstarter that I did like 4 years ago, and occasionally on Kickstarter it will pop up that someone's finally just provided their address. And I'm like...
Oh my God.
So we'll give people about two weeks. You know, there will be stragglers after that, and unfortunately for them, it might take a little longer to get their books. But about 2 weeks, stick the print the order for the print run in. The printers have said it's probably going to be about 4 weeks to print and ship the books. Then,
okay.
After that, so
wow, that's probably going to be, you know, by the beginning of next year you'll have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, wow. That's the aim, yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, we're not gonna sit in our hands at all. It's gonna be blam, blam, blam. Each thing done one at a time out there.
Yes.
I mean, we wanna move on. We don't wanna be, you know, worrying about this come next summer. We've got other things we want to do. We wanna make more books. We wanna be doing that. We don't wanna be like still fulfilling this.
Absolutely.
So yeah, this will be done. It'll be done. We'll be moving on.
Awesome.
More 2000 AD books to write.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so David has this follow-up question. This is, how will the rules help to give the players and GM that feel of playing Judge Dredd? All the weirdness and fun of a Dredd world, are the rules designed to be fast-paced and encourage role-play?
They are designed to do both of those things, yeah. So I'll briefly describe what the core mechanic of What's Old Is New is for those that don't know. So
okay, yeah.
It's very, very, very simple. So... when you're attempting a task, you roll a dice pool and you're just trying to hit a target number. So you might be rolling, say, 4d6 trying to hit 12 or something. The way you determine how many dice you have is you take an attribute such as strength or logic or charisma, one of those types of things, right. Which in each of which you have a certain number of dice. So maybe you put 3d6 in your strength score. You add to that any skill that you can persuade the GM is appropriate to that. So say you're trying to, I don't know, let's say you're trying to, I don't know, lift a heavy log. The GM would ask you to roll your strength, which is say 3d6, and you go, oh, I've got 2d6 in carrying as well. And the GM would go, yeah, sounds good to me. So you'd roll 5d6 and try and hit that 12 or whatever. So that's basically the system in a core nutshell.
It's great. It's great for, I think it's great for folks that are just trying to learn, you know, that are new to the RPG, you know, hobby. And folks that have been in it for years, I think it's like I said, it's that great mix of mechanics and you know.
Well, the fun effect of that is because you can mix any attribute with any skill, the players get to be kind of creative with it, and that's kind of where the role playing side sort of starts to come in. And when people are starting to, you know, combine strength and engineering or charisma and I don't know. Architecture, you know, all these weird combinations of skills, you can justify it. You know, if you're trying to persuade an architect to do something, you might use your knowledge of architecture and your charisma ability and combine those two things. And that's a perfectly reasonable skill combination that possibly it wouldn't occur to you to do offhand.
Sure.
But if you start getting, you know, creative with these things, you can mix and match these however you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see here. We've got more questions now that we're on a roll here.
Right. I can do questions.
Let's see here. Hexter says that makes me extra salty when I see books I paid for going home with people who didn't Kickstart. Hexter also asks. Wait, is the printer also handling the shipping? So
the printer ships them to us. We've got a warehouse here, and then we ship them out. So basically, it's going to take us 2 or 3 days in the warehouse just to ship them out. Yeah, we'll basically be sitting in there in this warehouse for eating pizzas and packing boxes for 2 or 3 days. Well, depending how many we get, of course. I mean, you know, if we only get 100 backers, we'll probably do it in an hour. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think you might have a little more than 100 backers.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Shadowcat says, will there be a Strontonium dogs as well as
Strontium
as well
dog.
Following? Yep. Strontium dog.
Strontium dog, yeah.
Yep.
So I can't
Judge Dredd?
Yeah, I can't confirm which we're doing. yet.
Okay.
The problem with that is there's an approvals process where Rebellion, who's the license holder, obviously has to approve everything in advance. I can say we haven't started writing one yet. I can tell you that much. But I would say that any and all 2000 AD characters, settings, and worlds are possible. There are some obvious favourites, and I think people can probably guess which those are, some of the more popular ones. But right now, I can't confirm or deny, unfortunately, which ones are going to be.
If there's any that you would like to see in print, I'm going to tell you to go back to Kickstarter, because the more support that they have on Kickstarter, the more likely they're going to get for.
Well, there is that. There is certainly that. I'll tell you what we do want to do, though. So this might help answer the question to an extent. Is we're keen on hitting different genres.
Okay.
So rather than producing sort of four or five different sci-fi things in a row, we might also decide to maybe do a fantasy one, or a more comedic one, or a horror-based setting, or something like that. Because 2000 AD has got so many worlds and settings, there's so much to choose from.
Sure.
You know, you could pretty much pick any genre and it's in there. And we want to try and make sure that we cover a nice wide range of genres, just to, you know, spread out the love a little bit.
Let's see here. So Hexter, I tell you, this guy heckles me in the chat every single time I get one online. That's all right, Hexter. I know who you are. I know, Jason. That's okay. Let's see here. He says, it's okay, Doug. We don't expect you to get the complicated words. He was
yeah.
I tell you.
Yeah.
He also asked, do we get free pizza in the shipment from you then?
It would be really cold and manky by the time you got
it. I don't think anybody would want that.
No. And it would have bite marks in it.
Awesome.
Maybe I could charge extra for half-eaten pizza that the designers have chewed on already. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you should, definitely. Or if Hexter backs, you should like just put a half-eaten slice in his book, because he comes on and heckles me every single time I come on this show.
Just imagine that. You open up your brand new hardcover book and this is squish.
Oh, and slice of pizza.
Yeah, okay. I can promise, that's one promise I can certainly make, we will not squish half-eaten pizza with your books.
Heard it here first, folks.
You can take that as a guarantee.
Oh, man. Shadowcat says, ew, secondhand pizza.
Yeah, it's not ideal. That could be worse. It could be secondhand curry, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, so there won't be any secondhand pizza stretch goals for this campaign, for this Kickstarter.
Unfortunately, not this one. Maybe the next one.
Oh, Russ, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me for a little bit. Please come back on when you have another project coming on. This is a lot of fun. Let's talk a little bit about where folks can find you. Are you doing any cons coming up anytime soon? Do you do the whole con scene?
Yeah, well, we haven't done any yet. I mean, I've been to them as a punter, obviously, but not in a sort of company capacity. As of next year, we're going to start doing the UK cons. I don't know which ones yet, but probably almost certainly Dragon Meet and UK Games Expo, and probably some smaller ones throughout the year.
I hear nothing but good things over there for your con scene, because I hear that you guys have these awesome events, and they're, I hear that they're not quite as big as they are here in the United States, but
UK Games Expo is now, I think it's the third biggest.
Is it the third biggest?
Tabletop gaming con in the world now.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong. That's probably wrong.
Dragon Meet's a bit smaller.
Yeah, I guess that's what the one that I was thinking about, because I know I have the Modiphius guys every once in a while, and they say that that's just a great like intimate show. Like, it's like at that big feel, but yeah, it's still kind of small.
Well, the Modiphius guys, yeah, they run Dragon Meet, don't they? So
yeah. So. Where else can folks find you online? Let's tell folks if folks want more, want to hear all about Russ Morrissey and all the things that you've got going on. Where can folks find you?
So my main internet home is enworld, enworld.org, which is my tabletop gaming news site. I've been doing that for about 20 years.
Just a little while. I mean, you might have heard that website. Yeah.
I just said that out loud and just realized how long that is. 20 years. Wow.
No, that's awesome. You do a great job for this RPG community. And
thank you. That's kind. Thank you.
I know I go to your site, you know, quite often. So thank you for all the work that and your whole staff that work on that website.
Thank you. That's really nice. So also, we started a podcast recently. It's about episode 14 now, so it's what, 3 months in. It's called Morris's Unofficial Tabletop RPG Talk. Nice catchy name. Falls nice. Off the tongue.
Yeah, you know, short and succinct.
Yeah, exactly. So you can find that on iTunes and all the usual places. Just Google Morris. I think probably you'll find it. I don't think there's any other podcasts out there with my name in it, but maybe there. Yeah, I don't know. But you should find it fairly quick. That's my two main haunts. You can find me on Twitter at Morris. Find me on Facebook, all the usual places.
Nice, nice. We got some. Hexer says, did we talk about
questions?
More questions.
More questions.
I promise to keep it short, and it's not short.
It's fine.
Let's see
that's
here. Fine. Jason says, did we talk about stretch goals yet? Fancy dice and so on. I think that you've pretty much said that there's no stretch goals. It's pretty much just for the publishing, right?
So what we've done in our Kickstarters mainly for like the last 3 or 4 years is we've had no stretch goals, because what that means is we can deliver straight away. I mean, right, we're not going to sort of suddenly say we're going to put an extra 20 pages in that book because, hey, it's here, it's done. It's not changing. It's we're not putting an extra 20 pages in that book. We do actually have a couple of stretch goals, but they're easy ones that we can actually deliver straight away. One of the really nice ones I like is a 6-month live stream show. There's a team of guys who've been live streaming for a few years. They're very good at what they do. They currently live stream, at least the GM, is a guy called Wax Steven, who runs The Warped, what's on his new show, plus a whole bunch of other ones like 5th Edition and a superhero one on Friday nights and stuff. He's really, really good at what he does. He's got a cast together. They are hoping that we reach that stretch goal and can afford to pay them to go ahead to hit, you know, they are ready to go, to hit the go button on this 6-month live stream show. And I am hoping we manage to do that one, because that will be awesome.
Nice. That's great. I love it. I love it when there's like some sort of content after, you know, a Kickstarter, just kind of keep folks, you know, just immersed into the game, because I think it's really important.
Yeah. So it's nice, simple stretch goals we can deliver straight away. And that one, you know, like I said, it's ready to go. And like it's quite a reasonable stretch goal as well. And it's like, I think there's a reasonable high chance of us reaching it.
Absolutely. So Hexter asks, what's the name of the Kickstarter account so I can start following you on Kickstarter?
Probably, I think it's Morris, I expect. Let me check. Yeah, Morris.
Morris, okay.
Yeah. 90% of everything I do, just look for Morris, Morris, and you'll probably find me.
He also says, O-S, you know, because I like to keep this family. He's that guy, and he capitalized T-H-A-T. Like, he didn't realize that you were the Emerald guy.
Ah, yeah, that would be me, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for all my sins, that's me.
Let's see here. Also, he has one more comment. It says, I like Kickstarters that don't just start making up stretch goals at random. Yes, I will agree with that. I love the fact that a lot of
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that Kickstarters do. People see the total going up. They start getting excited. They start promising things that they haven't really planned properly. I'm not saying everyone does that. Most people, you know, most people plan their Kickstarters well in advance. Some people, yeah, they do, and they start promising all these things without really thinking through what it's going to take to sort of deliver on them. And 2 years later, they're still thinking, oh, God, I've still got to start this book I promised for the $36,000 stretch goal. Oh, you know, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Everything's planned in advance. There's nothing being left to chance.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us. I told Russ it would take about 30 minutes. We've gone to 40, so you get a bonus 10 minutes, folks.
Wow.
I want to thank Russ for coming on. I want to thank everybody that tuned in live and watched. If you like I said, if you like this video, please give a like down below. Also, go back to Kickstarter. I'll put the link to the Kickstarter in the description of this video once it's live. And go check out Judge Dredd and the Worlds of 2000 AD, the role-playing game, on Facebook. There's a Facebook page, so go like
it. There is. Can I just remind everyone, Tuesday the 25th at 5 p.m. UK time is when the Kickstarter launches.
And that will be
or whatever noon, time that is for you.
Noon for us here on the east coast of the state.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. So if you go to worlds of 2000adrpg.com, isn't it? There's a countdown there as well, and an awesome trailer, which is fantastic. I love that trailer.
Nice.
So have to watch that trailer. But there's a countdown there which will count down to the minute of launch.
Awesome. All right, that's going to do it for us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed that immensely.
Well, I appreciated you coming on. And this has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.